And now we will have our Bible reading, Genesis 16, 1 to 16.
Right, today's reading, Hagar and Ishmael. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your slave is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai ill-treated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility towards all his brothers." She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. "You are the God who sees me," for she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael.
Thank you, Ali.
Let's pray. Lord, as we consider your word together, we pray that our hearts will be open to hear what you have to say to us to lead us forward. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I've called this thoughts this morning, "God cares even when we mess up." God cares even when we mess up. And it's the story of Hagar and Ishmael. Or perhaps the first part of the story of Hagar and Ishmael. Remember that we've been following the story of Abraham, or Abram, as he was called at that point, and Sarai. Well, the last time we looked at that was November. How time flies, because we've had Christmas since then and New Year, but now we're back into Genesis, looking at the story of Abraham and Sarah. And we read how Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, first of all with his dad, and then his dad died, and they moved on together with Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew. Last time, back in November, we saw how God had made a promise to Abraham. Genesis chapter 15, verses 4 to 6. If you're very quick, you can stand up now. Genesis 15, verses 4 to 6, we read, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your flesh and blood will be your heir.' He took him outside and said, 'Look up at the sky and count the stars, if you indeed can count them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.'" Abraham's concerned, well, he didn't have any children. A big issue throughout the ages. He didn't have any children. And God was talking about all the things that how he was going to bless Abraham. He said, well, if I don't have any kids, that's the biggest blessing that I need. And at the moment, my chief steward is going to inherit everything because I've got no family to pass it on to. And the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir. A son born of your own flesh and blood will be your heir. And God spoke this, and then we read those wonderful words, Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Abraham believed, and because he believed, God accepted that as righteousness. Later on in that same chapter, God extended his covenant with Abraham. And we read in chapter 15, verse 18, on that day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, and said, to your descendants I will give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. And so Abraham, he got all these promises and this covenant from God. Then we come to today's story. What I could call a miserable story. This is one of the most miserable stories in the Bible. The key participants, Abraham, his wife, Sarai, and their servant or slave, Hagar. Did you say she was an Egyptian slave? I know, but where she was, she wasn't a descendant of Abraham. Abraham didn't have any descendants. And there she was, just part of family, not really part of the family, really, just part of the property, as slaves were. And it's a story of lack of faith. First of all, we have Sarai's, we have her lack of faith. She says to Abraham, in chapter 16, verse 2, well, verse 1 and 2 says, and now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abraham, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Pretty miserable, eh? First of all, she blames God. That's the first thing she did wrong. God has kept me from having children. It's all his fault. Then she develops her own plan to remedy the situation. And then she goes to her husband and presents him with this wonderful plan that she's come up with to how to solve the problem. And sells the plan to Abraham. And then we have Abraham's lack of faith. Abraham listened to his wife. I'm not saying that's a bad thing to do. But when you listen to your wife or to your husband, you have to weigh up what they say. What should he have done? Sarai comes up with his wonderful plan. What should he have done? He should have turned to God, yes. He should have taken the matter to God and said, what's your will in this, Lord? Sarai's come up with this idea. Is it a good idea? What should I do in this situation? But there's no reference here to seeking God and knowing the way forward. So Abraham, too, shows lack of faith. He clutches on to this plan that his wife has to help God out. Right? Obviously, God has got in a problem here, and he said, I'm going to have children. I haven't had any children, so I've got to help him out. That's what walking in unbelief looks like. So we've got Sarai and Abraham, and then we've got the victim, Hagar. Hagar is in a bad place. Maybe partly because of her own making. When she got to be pregnant, then she disdained her mistress. Having children was throughout all ages, but in this culture, it was of high importance. And now we all knew I mean, as soon as she got pregnant, she knew whose problem it was. It wasn't Abraham's problem. It was Sarai's problem. And so she mocked her. But that's part of it. But the root of her problem was in Sarai's unbelief. Whenever we go our own way without God's direction, as Abraham and Sarai did here, there's likelihood that others will be impacted. Hagar was already a slave with minimal rights in that society. Now her mistress puts her in an impossible situation, and Hagar becomes a victim of others' actions. What a miserable story. But there's another actor in this drama. What was God going to do with this dysfunctional, highly dysfunctional family? These three, Sarai, Abraham, and Hagar, sort of in the family now since she's sleeping with Abraham. Maybe he should choose another family and start again. The reasonable thing to do, if you look at it from, as we look at it, try and look at it from God's point of view. Obviously, the choice of this couple was a mistake. Let's try again. But what about his promise to Abraham? He promised Abraham. And one thing can be sure, that when God makes a promise, he keeps it. So he wasn't going to disregard them and come up with another family. We see here an example of how the Lord remains faithful to his promise, even when men and women mess up. So let's look at God's faithfulness. First of all, we see God's faithfulness to Sarai. Sarai made her own plan and put it into action. But God kept to his own plan. And eventually, Sarah, as she became, had a child of her own, much to her surprise and joy. Even at the advanced age, how was she? 90. Anyway, she was filled with joy at this turn of events. So even though she had gone her own way and without consulting the Lord and involved Hagar, and God, what a mess. Despite all that, God was faithful to Sarah. And God continued to work, not just in her body, but in her heart, in her spirit too. And that one of those amazing sections in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Sarah is picked up as one of the people of faith. And I always look at that and go, wow. how did that happen? Hey, let me read it to you. It says, the writer of the Hebrews says, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. Well, because of God's faithfulness, and she came to realize that God was faithful, and even when she laughed, when she was told she was going to be pregnant and have a child, she laughed. But God did his work in her body and in her life to bring her to that place as faithfulness. She learned that God is faithful, and her faith grew. And that's what God chose to remember. That's what he chose to have recorded in Hebrews. Not her failure, not her messing up, but where she came to, her faith, God's faithfulness to Sarai. And then God's faithfulness to Abraham. Poor old Abraham. His lack of faith is eventually overcome by God's own faithfulness. And again in the New Testament, this time it's in Romans chapter 4, verse 20 to 21. Listen to this verse and marvel. Paul, writing to the Romans, says about Abraham, "Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised." Yeah, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. What was all this about then? Wasn't he wavering when he listened to his wife and slept with Hagar? God chooses to forget. And what remains recorded is not his messing up, but what God was going to go on and do in his life. Abraham was not there yet. God hadn't finished with him. In today's story, he seemed to be wobbling quite a bit to me. He seemed to wobble in somewhat in listening to his wife and in taking Hagar. But God was not finished with Abraham. And eventually, after Isaac, his son, was born to Abraham and to Sarah, eventually he was even ready to kill his son if God told him to, because he believed that God was able to overrule even death to accomplish his purposes. So his faith grew from the wobble that we see here. He grew till he said, you know, whatever God says, God will do. And if our son dies, he's able to bring him to life again and accomplish his purposes. And that's what God chose to have recorded about him, that he did not waver through unbelief, but was strengthened in his faith. Yeah, notice it. He was strengthened in his faith. He needed to be strengthened in his faith, didn't he? They look at this passage, very weak faith. But there was faith there. He had left Ur at God's command and gone out, not knowing where he was going. He had some faith, but he needed a lot more strengthening. Not from within. Strengthening means somebody was giving him strength. God was strengthening him. God's faithfulness to Sarai, God's faithfulness to Abraham, and then God's faithfulness to Hagar. Hagar was the victim. Ill-treated by her mistress and abused by her master. She was not ignored by God. She ran away. God met with her. He protected her life and that of her unborn child. He replaced the abuse that she had suffered with a promise to her and to her son. But before that promise was fulfilled, Hagar came to the realization that the Lord was watching out for her. This verse we read about Hagar, we don't know what experience she had of God. But during this experience, she realized that God was watching out for her. And we read chapter 16, verse 13. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. She gave a name to God. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? From her own experience, this is who God was to her. So she gave him a name. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me. The God who sees me. That was the name that she gave to God. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. So in this experience, she was brought into relationship with God himself. And he is faithful to her. Not that it was all better after that, because God told her to go back and suffer under the hand of her mistress. But she went back knowing that God was with her. God had his eye upon her and her son. And there was a great promise for her son too. Great story. Miserable story. But it's a story. True story. This has been recorded and inspired by God so that we get this. We don't get all the story. We get this bit for our strengthening. What can we learn from this for ourselves? Firstly, I see here that men and women of faith can stumble, but God remains faithful. Is that you? You look back over the recent, distant past. Maybe you have messed up somewhere in the past. It happens. Maybe it happens to most of us, I don't know. Certainly happened to me. Messed up in the past. And you feel that God cannot forgive you. And so you languish in that unforgiveness. How could God possibly forgive that? I really messed up. But Jesus has said that he will not turn away any who come to him. And he told his disciples, they said, well, Lord, when my brother comes to me and asks for forgiveness, how many times must I forgive him? Seven? And they thought seven was pretty good. What did Jesus say? 70 times seven. So that's really, he's saying there is no limit to the number of times that you must forgive your brother when he asks for forgiveness. And so that's what the Lord does himself. There is no limit to the number of times that he will forgive you. So even if you've messed up in the past, God is faithful. And the Apostle John writes in his letter, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Men and women of faith can stumble, wobble, waver, but God remains faithful. So take heart. Be encouraged. Nothing you have messed up on is beyond forgiveness and restoration. Do I hear any hallelujahs there? We all do. Nothing we've done is beyond God's forgiveness and restoration. He is faithful. Praise him. Secondly, we can see that God cares for the victim and the marginalized. Maybe you feel victimized. Maybe something happened, which was not your fault, and nobody noticed. Nobody came to help. You were left to face it alone, like Hagar was. But she was not alone. The Lord did notice. When that happens and we feel put upon, we can come to him and pour it all out to him. Many psalms are like that. Particularly David's psalms, pouring out to the Lord just how hard done by he was and how long, O Lord. But we can do that. God can take it. Somebody says, I'm so angry with God. Okay, God can take it. God is not going to be put down by your being angry with him. He's bigger than that. You know this, those of you who've got children. Sometimes they're angry with their parents. You don't say, well, if you're angry with me, you don't get any tea tonight. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, does it? We know that kids get angry. They get upset and that. But we don't send them, say, okay, you can go off, come back when you... We support them and encourage them. So it is with us. We can pour it all out to him. Maybe he will not make it all better like it was before. Hagar, as I said, went back to Sarah and endured hardship. But she went back with the knowledge that God was with her. God had noticed her. And she went back with a promise from God that would see her through the trouble. God cares for the victim and the marginalized. Those are good lessons to learn. Maybe this third one is the main message from this section. God does not need our devious plans to accomplish his purposes. God does not need help from us because he can't do it without us. Do you sometimes think that God needs a bit of help to accomplish what he said he would do? Seems to be what Abraham and Sarai thought. That led them into trouble. God does not need our help. If he's promised, he will do it. He does expect our obedience. That's a different matter. But it's not needing our help, so he can't accomplish it otherwise. Maybe you feel that you are not good enough to be accepted by God. It's quite common. Maybe you feel that if I could just do a bit, be a bit better, get this area of my life cleaned up, if I can just do something here, then God will be able to do his bit. It's not like that. We don't have to get our bit cleaned up to enable God to do his bit. It's rubbish. There's nothing that we can do to make ourselves more acceptable to God. Got that? There's nothing I can do to make myself more acceptable to God. He takes us as we are, as he took these people, and accomplished his purposes. He will take us as we are, our sin, our failure, even our lack of faith, and he accomplishes his purposes. Oh, what plans he has for you. His plan is to remake you so that eventually you're like Jesus. Every time I say that and think of that, I say, I've got it right. Is that what he says? But it's quite clear. That's his purpose, to remake us, that when he appears, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. He's going to do that. He's promised to do that, and he will do that. He has promised and will do it. Our responsibility is to believe what he says and accept what he offers. There's a hymn that came to my mind this morning. Pam always sighs when a hymn comes to my mind, but and it's some of you know this hymn. The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Is that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. You're such a great God. You're such a loving God. You're such a forgiving God. You're such a supporting God. Lord, thank you for this story of these three and how they messed up, particularly Abraham and Sarai. Messed up. You didn't dismiss them. You were faithful to them and accomplished your purposes. And their abuse of Hagar was noticed by you, and you supported and strengthened her, met with her so that she could rejoice. this is the God who sees me. He knows me. He watches over me. Lord, thank you for your greatness, for your mercy, for your grace. And Lord, for ourselves. Lord, I pray for any here feeling that they've messed up and it's beyond repair. Lord, not beyond your forgiveness. As we come, Lord, we come to ask for that forgiveness, that restoration. Know, Lord, that you will, as you have promised, complete your purpose in each one of us, that we will become like Jesus. Not just forgiven, we know that, and we praise God for the salvation that comes through the death of Jesus. But more than that, that we will live like him, by your Spirit working in us. So, Lord, we praise you and we thank you and we submit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.